Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Corey Lynn Hager. She's a therapist, spiritual seeker, and Ram Dass's number one fan. In this conversation, we take aim at performative authenticity, discuss the wisdom of impermanence, and how becoming an ally to yourself is always worthwhile. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, I am joined by Corey Hager. How are you?
I'm doing so well. This feels totally natural to hold a microphone while I talk.
Well, one day I'll be able to afford a mic stand, so then you can have your hands free. But for now, we hold our microphones.
Yeah, it's all good. I got it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me over here. I'm happy that we finally get to sit down.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you made it from listener to participant. How
leveled
do you feel?
I leveled up.
Yeah, how do you feel?
This is the dream. I mean, I truly feel very honored to be in the same pool of people as other Opening Presents guests because shit, man, there's some good ones on there.
Most definitely. And you are definitely worthy, beyond worthy, because the conversations that we have tend to go deep very quickly.
They sure do.
But yeah, I want to thank you for... Actually, I want to give a big shout out to you because you sent me a beautiful message, a voice message about the last podcast I dropped with Sean Coolidge. Mm-hmm. And it was like a 4-minute message and I really, really appreciate it. And that's something that a friend of mine, my friend Lindsay told me, was like, to like really, really like say thank you about things and just not expect those things from people. And totally. Like really, how do you really receive it? Because I think growing up, at least for me, like I never really like absorbed it because I didn't feel like I deserved anything that anyone gave to me. So I'm like, oh, you're doing this out of pity or you're just doing it. You don't have to do this. Like who paid you to do this nice thing for me?
What do you really want?
So like when I receive those things, like those same like feelings come up of unworthiness. But then when I really sit with it, I'm like, oh, I need to like, I called you like right away. And I was just like, hey, like, thank you for that. So thank you.
And similarly from my end, I was like, oh, it's going to seem so weird if I send this voice note right now, just 4 minutes long, thanking Aaron for this podcast. But you know what? I really believe that if you are feeling strongly about a thing and you want to thank someone and you want to appreciate them, then you should just do it, you know? Like we all need to hear a little bit of encouragement and nice things about ourselves. That doesn't happen enough in our society, I feel like.
Mm-mm. No, and I think like releasing that, whatever it's an idea or a concept or a thought, sharing it, like, because like what happens to those things like when we hold on to them?
Yeah.
Like I feel like it like eats away at us in some way, form or
fashion. Totally.
Yeah. Where do you think that happens? Like what happens in that context? Well,
I mean, it makes me think of the book, The Body Keeps the Score, which is like your body is going to remember. I mean, I think that has more to do with like trauma than nice words. But same thing, like if you hold something in, whatever it is, your body will store that somewhere. And, you know, it's better to just express the thing always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely in like an expressive mode these days. Like
painting some stuff?
I'm about to start painting. Okay. As of recently, I've been like altering my clothes a lot.
Hell yeah.
Like I've been like cropping things. Like I have these like heavyweight hoodies.
Yes.
And I'm like, yo, like I just took like my Leatherman knife tool to it and just cut off the bottom. And then this hoodie that I brought over today, I ordered online and it's like a brand new hoodie. And I was like, am I really going to cut something that I just bought?
You sure
did.
And
the answer was yes.
You sure did.
Yeah. Being less precious and just going for it.
Yeah. And I love that. I honestly, it looks like you bought it that way. by the way.
I know. Yeah.
But I really like that look a lot. Why not? You know? Why not? Like, I've been, what? I just bought a new thing recently and I like messed it up in some way, but I like it better now. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, why not personalize a thing if you're going to like it more?
Yeah. I think it's just the relationship that you have to the things in your life and not being passive. Like, even if it's the simplest thing, like your fucking butter knife or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I have like a coffee, like a little coffee cup that I'm like, oh, I love this coffee cup.
Yeah. And
like, being very particular about what we allow, like whether that's relationally or aesthetically or materially in our lives, it's like there has to be a reason these days to have X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. around me. And I need to kind of put everything on trial.
Because
it's like sometimes it's like, oh, this thing's just been sucking my energy. This ugly garment. Taking my energy.
Have you ever gone through your closet and been like, okay, I haven't worn this in 2 years, but maybe on next Tuesday I might want to wear it. It's like, no, you're not. You're not going to wear it. Like, just donate it, you know? Like, it's the same thing with people. That sounds kind of bad, but it's like, if you haven't connected in a real way with someone and like, well, I guess it's kind of different with people, but I mean, I think I get what you're saying. Like, the things around you, you realize that, like, when you become more aware of your self-worth, you realize that the space around you is sacred. Mm-hmm. And so that means that the things that you have, if something about having that thing doesn't feel right or align with your values in some way, then get rid of it. Like, cut out that extra stuff. Just like, that is like people. Like, if there's a friendship or some sort of relationship you have that feels more like it takes more than it gives, or, you know, it's like not reciprocal in any way, then get rid of that shit, man.
Yeah, get rid of it or like alter it in a way.
Because
I had that experience. It's so wild that we're talking about this, because I had that real, real experience just a couple of days ago. In 2018, I went to New York, and that was like when I like quit drinking.
Yeah,
that was like the time. It was my first time there, and my like best friend, actually like two of my best friends, but like one of them had was visiting around the same time I was, and her name's Aline. She's been on the pod. My other oldest childhood friend, like first grade, basically like inspired me to become an artist. Like, his dad came in to show and tell, and Ariel has been my like best friend since I was like a kid. But when I was there, I had an experience where like I was experiencing the city, and he's kind of an introvert, and I won't tell the whole story, but it was just like, I just didn't feel like he was able to meet me where I was at. And I was like, yo, like, let's go to this place. And he just didn't really show up in a way that made me feel like I was being catered to. Like, I'm like, I'm in your city now. Like, what's going on? And I kind of reflected upon like our childhood and like growing up, where I was the one that was always reaching out and like asking him about his work, like, oh, what's this art piece and what's this? And he's always painting in the garage. I would just pull up like in high school and like be like the support. And I was like one of his only friends, and he wasn't a social person. So when I was in New York, I was like, man, this is pretty one-sided, where I'm out here like giving so much, but like, you're never reaching back out to me. So literally from like 2018 to literally like 2 days ago, haven't spoken about anything. Cause I was just, I was like, you know what? Like if we want to have any sort of relationship, he can reach out to me.
Oh yeah.
But he texted me like a week ago, and I was just like, you know what? Like, let's FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
So we FaceTimed, and as soon as the screen comes up on his end, it's a crying baby. He has a kid.
Oh my gosh, you didn't even know he had a kid?
6 weeks old.
Whoa.
And every single thing that I had held
on
to.
He's like, this is my kid, Aaron. I named him after you.
Eli is his name. And I hope he's not mad that I'm saying these things. But like, everything that I had held on to completely went out the window. Like, he went to like his art studio, like his wife Carmen was like watching the kid, and he like walked over to like the art studio that he works out of, and it's like his same process. And like, we didn't even talk about the thing that I was tripping on. it was like, oh, like he was showing me like this jacket that he made, these hats, these sculptures, and it was like nothing had ever happened. And I'm like, wow. Like,
wow.
Like, I just dropped it all. And I was just like, you know what? Like, he is who he is. Like, I love him to death. Like, and I just like completely vanished. But yeah. There are certain people that haven't gained that level of grace within our lives, and we change along the way.
I know. Yeah. I was just going to say, I think that probably has something to do with the fact that you've grown so much since then that you don't need his like validation or responses as much. And when you don't need it as much, it frees so much space up to just like let it be whatever it is. I think that that's a huge change that I've noticed within myself as well. Like you feel it in your body if you need someone to react in a certain way versus like if you just allow it to be whatever it's going to be. And I think honestly a big part of that was deleting social media because it got me out of that practice of like posting a thing and then constantly checking like how many likes is it getting, who's commenting, how many comments, like, you know, it's just like it's such a desperate, like, you need to be seen and you need that validation. Like, you know, that feeling of like, I'm not feeling so great about myself right now, so let me just like post something on my story and like that makes me look like I'm having a really good day or really cool or like really mm-hmm. creative or whatever it is. And that's still within me for sure, but it's way toned down.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel like interacting with life is without the use of social media? Like, I've been off of like for like the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, like,
oh,
I'll check to see if I have like a message or something, but like,
yeah,
the app has been completely uninstalled. I haven't posted anything.
It's like, so nice. To anyone listening, I highly recommend deleting anything that feels like it is controlling you more than you're controlling it. And that's definitely how it felt with me. I mean, there was a couple reasons, but the main one was I noticed within myself that I was thinking about the post before I went to the place. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about my caption and I was like, whoa, I hate that. I hate this. I don't want to live my life like confused about what my intentions are, even about going to a certain place that's cool. Like, I don't want to go to that place because I can post about it, or I don't want to do a thing. Like, I shaved all my hair off right after I deleted I deleted Instagram. And I just remember, or no, maybe it was like right around the same time. And I remember doing it and then feeling like I really noticed when I didn't get that external validation from other people. And like, it really, that's why I did it. I did it because I wanted to prove to myself that I didn't need someone else to tell me that I was beautiful. It was for me, it was like a real defining moment in my life, honestly, of like freaking Phoenix rising from the ashes. Like, this is my life and I'm in control of what I do and what I think and how I feel and how I look.
How long ago was that? Did you shave your head and delete social media?
Wow, really sound like Britney right now.
it's Britney, bitch.
2020. Of course.
Yeah,
right?
Perfect timing.
Yeah, perfect timing, right? Yeah.
That's awesome that you did shave your head, though, because that's very like ceremonial. And totally. It's like you have to look at it in the face every single day. And
yep.
It's not something that you like, oh, yeah, like I'm off social media, but I'm kind of like cheating on the side with
right.
other apps and stuff. And
yeah.
I'm going through the web browser and not the app. Like, that's kind of like what I do, where I'm just like, all right, I'm just logging in through the web browser.
Yeah.
But like, to create like a real like ceremony and relationship to those defining moments, which we don't really have in this society, where it's like the coming of age moments, and like we had to have this ceremony to show that we're entering adulthood. Like, we don't
yeah.
have those types of things. So I think
or
that's
like
a longing that we have, because we never really graduate
totally.
From life stage to life stage.
Right.
We kind of just get. Like, it kind of just blends like a gradient into this
yeah.
next place. And it's like, wait, there was no signifier.
Yeah, that's a huge thing that I've been thinking about it, like within American culture, specifically around grief lately. I've been thinking about, like, you know, we really don't have any like ceremony, any certain ritual is the word I'm thinking of. Like, no rituals around how to process grief together, which is like the way that it makes most sense to do, to have your people around you come around you and hold you in that. And no, our culture in America is so individualized. It's like, you got to deal with your shit on your own, behind closed doors. Don't talk about it. And if you do, it's like on social media in this performative way of like, God, it's so trippy. Like, it's like performative authenticity. It's like authenticity. Ooh. It's like authenticity is like trendy and has been for like the past couple of years. And it's, is it real authenticity if you're posting it to an audience and like hoping for a certain response? I don't know. I don't know. You got to think about that stuff.
Yeah.
So I just, definitely. I'm like, I'm out of the game. Like, I don't want to be contemplating my motivations constantly. I bow out. All I have is Facebook, and that makes it really easy to not be on social media, because it's like, man, I don't want to see what my uncle's doing, you know, like, I don't care.
Yeah, no, I think that's extremely powerful in, mm-hmm. in not needing the validation, because it's like, what are you outside of that? And I think that's what I was kind of alluding to before, of like just wanting to make things and like express.
Yes.
It's like the last few years, it's just been like internal practice, creating sacred spaces and community and just really getting still. But now I like have this cultivated energy that needs to like express outward.
Totally.
But not for the, like, I could have, like, I've been cutting up my clothes for like the last week. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
Hell yeah.
I could have made like 10 reels on Instagram.
Oh my God. And, so like, many TikToks.
I could have made a game. I got like the pants I'm wearing right now. I dyed these like this beautiful purple.
I love
sweatpants. I know these things are hard, but it's like, I could have.
What color were they before?
They were like a light brown that it was like a tannish light brown. It wasn't popping
just,
like
just
this.
For the listeners, looking at like a royal purple, but it's like,
kind of vintagey.
Yeah, it's like vintage, kind of faded looking. It's not like
heavyweight
super
cotton, but it's
concentrated.
Like, I've just been really into like making things and not having to be like, hey guys, like this is 10 easy steps to be more creative and shit. I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, y'all do what y'all do. I'm going to just engage with this and then hop on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And not feel like I have to share every single thing with the world.
Oh,
and it feels so good, because it's just like, oh, like I have a well of energy that's not being siphoned off and
exactly.
And just taken from me. And I'm just like, oh, I can just put it to the things that I want to create and see into the world.
Yeah. That you realize that reward is enough. Like mm-hmm. the feeling that you have within yourself when you did a hard thing or when you accomplished something that, you know, like took a lot of time or a lot of energy or whatever, something that you would have wanted. I mean, and that being said, it's okay to share what you've worked hard for and, you know, like to share the process, but there's such a special feeling. It's like a sense of trust and love within yourself of like, I did that really hard thing and it was all for me. Mm-hmm. You know, no one even knows about it. Not a single person knows about that. It's like a sacred thing that just you have with you.
But then people start noticing, though.
Well,
like,
once
you start like really like committing
that
it, and then it's
too.
Like, oh, I'm surprised you actually saw that.
Yeah, yeah. But it feels kind of nice, you know,
back to being
recognized.
It does feel
like, oh,
nice.
Shit, this isn't all for nothing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely for us. Do you remember who you were before you started engaging on like your healing and spiritual like transformation? And who was that, Corey?
Mm. Good question, Aaron Robinson.
Hey, I've done this.
I remember who I was. I was a freaking, I feel like I can't cuss, but I can.
Yeah, you can.
I know that. Fuck. I was a basket case. Like, internally, I was a mess. And I was constantly in a battle internally with myself of, like, just so, like, stressed about what other people were thinking and feeling and how they were perceiving me and how I seemed to them. And, you know, like, see, basically, I think it boils down to me seeing myself through their eyes first, not my eyes first. That's how old Corey was. And bless her soul, you know, like, she struggled. And I have so much compassion for that person. I have a picture frame in my kitchen with a picture of me as a little kid that I see every day. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm still that person in so many ways, but also I'm so different from that person today, because I know that who I am is okay. And like the things that I feel are human and it's okay. Like the goal is not to be perfect. It's to be human and to explore everything that that means and all the emotions that that, you know, like something clicked, I think, when I realized that I was shooting for perfection within myself. And that's just a target you're never, it's unattainable. And you know what? I don't want to attain it. Like, I don't want to be perfect. How boring. I'd way rather practice accepting and loving and like appreciating the person that I am and that I will be till I die. Like there are traits. It's funny when you think of yourself as a kid and think about all the ways that those traits carried over into your adulthood, you know, like it's wild to me that you're born with this personality and you just keep that. Like, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you just like keep a lot about, you know, a lot of the aspects of who you were as a kid. Mm-hmm. You're just like the adult version of that.
Yeah, a lot of shame for sure, at least in my experience, God, where it's just so like I was shame. So fearful of like really expressing myself.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like
yeah,
this
same.
Is like this part of my life. It's like, oh, like this is what I've been holding back my yeah. whole entire life. Like we're talking about validation, like needing somebody to be like, Aaron, you got some good ideas. You should put it out there. Like nobody gave me that encouragement. Mm-mm. And I'm just like, now I'm just like, I don't need you to tell me what yeah. what I can, like what talent I do or don't have. I'm just going to show you like what I'm about. Do you remember like kind of what that turning point was for you? Because everyone kind of has, it's like usually it's like how bad can life suck before I make a change?
Yeah, well, a big part of my experience growing up was being involved in church. And you want to talk about shame, bro. All night long I could talk about shame in terms of just how that shows up within religion. Not that all religion is attached to that, but certainly the environment that I grew up in, I was constantly stressed about, like, I thought someone was going to ask me a question about like a Bible verse and I wasn't going to know the answer. Oh. I felt like I had to know every single, like everything there was to know about Christianity, or else I was like majorly messing up and being a disappointment. And like someone was going to point their finger at me and be like, you're a fraud. And I knew it all along. And I knew that you had questions and like weren't fully buying into this. That was my fear. Like since I even went to church the first time, I think, because I had a lot of questions and I that's just how I am. Like I'm a therapist. I ask a lot of questions. It's a part of me. And so I was terrified that someone was going to be like, wait a second, you're a phony and everyone knows it. So anyway, the turning point I think was finally making the decision for myself to not only stop going to church, but also to have a conversation with my parents who at the time held a lot of power over me, and to just be really direct with them and be like, I'm not Christian anymore. And mom starts just bawling and my dad is quiet and just looks like he wants to die. And I'm just like, I know that this is really hard for you to hear, but this is the honest truth. And I think that you already had an idea about that, but like, I'm telling you because I want our relationship to be real. And it feels like if I don't be real about this thing, then that can't be possible. And since then, I really do feel like since that moment, I can remember it so clearly. I feel like since then, I'm just like way less afraid of my parents being okay with what I'm doing and like on board and validating me. And my parents are great parents, but they had so much power over me until that moment where I was like, hey, this is the truth. And you're allowed to have whatever reaction you do, but I'm my own person. You know, I was not really allowed to be my own person growing up. It was like, nope, this is what you're going to think. This is what you're going to do. And if you have questions or if you don't like that, then well, tough titties, you know,
tough
titties. That's not how they said it, obviously, but it was like, you can't, like, this is the way it is. This is right. This is wrong. If you challenge that, then that's on you. Literally, my dad still says like, one day you'll figure it out, Corey. Like you'll get it one day. And it's like, bro, there's so many things wrong with that logic. First of all, the just the idea that you quote unquote get it, like one day you're just gonna get it, Mm-mm, that's not how it works. To me, all that is proof that you don't get it, bro. You don't get it. Whatever it is, you don't got it.
Yeah. That's amazing that you were able to build up the courage to say that, because that's a very earth shattering type of moment. Like I could, oh my God, lump in your chest.
Oh yeah.
Like before, how do I say this damn thing? But it opens up a whole new world for you. Where did that curiosity and like the desire for truth kind of like lead you as far as like the myth or the myth that you were under and the spell that you were under? Mm-hmm. And it's like you break free, but it's like, are there any like guide rails now? Like, is it like an open highway, and where did your curiosity lead you?
Well, I think the main feeling I experienced was just like so much fear dropped away. Like so much fear, like, went away when the thing that I was so afraid to do, because there were a couple years leading up to that, I would even argue that I was never fully like in it, like 2 feet into religion. I always was like, wait a second, like, why do you guys care if like gay people get married? Like, if you're not even gay, like, I don't get it. there were just like holes in the arguments. And I remember thinking, I was just talking about this earlier today. I was thinking like, wait a second. So there's all these different ways to be Christian. Like, you know, there's like Methodist and there's Baptist and there's Presbyterian. So obviously we're all interpreting these words of the Bible in different ways. So like, why can't that just be okay that we all have different interpretations? Why does it have to be like within each sector? It's like they all have beef with each other. Like, well, you know, like, they're Methodists over there and we're Baptists, so we got it all figured out. It's the same thing that I was just talking about. It's like, wait a second, why does different have to equate to wrong or bad? Or, I mean, that's kind of what every ism boils down to. It's like, oh, that's different, that's unknown, I don't understand it, must be wrong, must be bad. It's like, no, actually, it's the beauty in humanity is how we think about things differently. And I still don't know. Obviously, I don't like have the answer to that. Why that's such a wall that gets in between people being able to connect of like, mm-hmm. Well, you think about this in a different way. And so all of you, like your entire personhood is written off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it boils down to people just being lazy and they want things to be easy.
Yeah, I think so too.
And it's like, it's difficult. Like that conversation that you had with your parents, like, are people willing to have that that type of conversation about all these different arenas in life? And it's just like, it's so much easier just to like extend the, like, get out of my face, palm to the nose of somebody else and be like, I don't want to hear it.
And walk or to away. Just like go on like a long time knowing that they know, like they probably know, you know, they know, like, you know, they know, you know, they know, you know, it's just like, well, might as well just say it. Like if like my parents had an idea that was going on. And so that's kind of, I feel like enough time had passed where the thing just wasn't being said, you know, like just, gosh, at a certain point, it's like, if they're already experiencing the feelings about this thing that are coming up for them, then we might as well just actually address it. And that's another common theme. I'm really shitting on mom and dad, but you know what?
No,
they did a lot of things right.
They did a lot of things right. Yeah.
But one of the main experiences, like themes of my childhood was like a thing was going on and no one was saying a word about it. No mm-hmm. one was just calling it out for what it was. Like it was just like,
yeah, that shall not be spoken. Isn't that like Harry Potter or something? That should not be spoken. Something should not be spoken.
The one who shall not be named. I think that's Voldemort.
Okay,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I thought I was onto something right there. Yeah, those. It's tough to, but it's like, we were talking about that before. Like, we basically had a conversation that was its own podcast before this podcast.
I mean, kind of every conversation.
But it's like the liberation that you experience when you like, you bite the bullet
station.
And you just go through the discomfort. And then it's like a, like, what is it? What is your guy Ram Dass say, like a shoe that's like tied too tight, or
it's
that
like,
may have been Jack Kornfield
or
somebody else.
Yeah, RD. He talks about how death is like taking off a tight shoe.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, and it's like that's a small death. Like like engaging in that conversation and initiating
a death
it
to
when,
how it was before.
When both people are like very cognizant of this tension that we're both living with.
Yeah,
and it's just like that fear to tap dance around the inevitable. Like whenever, whoever has the bravery, or two people have the bravery, if a group has the bravery to just like see it, point at it, call it for what it is. And then like, let's get a group around it to start like weaving a new tapestry out of this.
I think it feels so good. Cause it's like, it's an honest representation of what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if you're just putting it all out there, it's obvious, it's terrifying, but it's also the good feelings, the rush that comes from it is so much bigger, because it's so much more powerful than like the fear that was holding you back. It's like, mm-hmm. whoa, that felt so good to just be really real, really honest, like actually honest. It's trippy, because it's like real authenticity is where it's at. But there's so much performative authenticity happening everywhere, like we were saying, that sometimes it's hard to recognize what is real, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's really hard to recognize that right now. And at the end of the day, everyone's craving it. Everyone wants something that's real. I think that's actually a quote from Blade Runner.
Is it?
Everyone's looking for something real.
It might be an episode title.
But it's true. We all want something real. And there's like so many phony things about this, just like the world that we're living in right now.
Yeah, I think it's either like, or at least I'm just reflecting on now, it's like, it's either you live in a real world or a fake world. It's like if you look at all the people that are like actually like in your life,
yeah,
like regardless of like the standing of like wherever our friendships, our relationships are, it's like, it's heavily, at least in my life, it's heavily swayed towards real ass motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The realist. Like, I'm totally. Like, yo, like, I'm fucking blessed. Like, look at all these fucking people that I know that are like genuine, authentic, that mm-hmm. like reciprocal relationships. Not everybody has like time for each other all the time, but it's like more often than not, it's like, yo, like, there's some good people out here.
So
and it's
many.
Like, I'm so happy to get to like invest in those relationships.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was driving around today and I ran in like just like, like hours apart. No. Like, yeah. I ran over grandma.
just bumped them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, nothing
just
crazy.
Hit it. Just, yeah. But like, I would see friends, and I went and got like a croissant, like a cheese Danish. Shout out to cheese Danishes, because those are the best things in the world.
So good.
But like, ran into two friends that were like just walking with each other, and then just sit and talk for like 5 minutes. And then I ran over to the vintage store because I'm obsessed with Carhartt jackets right now.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my friend Rob driving, and I honked, waved at him in the mirror. He drives off. I go park. I call him, and I'm calling him. I'm like, hey, what's going on, Rob? And then I look across the street. It's my friend Alexandra.
Oh,
I'm like,
so
Alexandra. I'm like, Rob, let me call you back. She comes over, and then like she has like this bag, and I was like, oh, I have the same tote bag. And we were constant. And I just saw her at an art event like last week. So super talented people, beautiful people, open people, that we are just feeding into one another.
Yeah.
It's like every time I see like one of the the homies, one of the friends, it's like my eyes light up, their eyes light up.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We're excited to like connect with one
it's
another.
It's so energizing. It's so opposite of like, I just went to IKEA. This relates, I promise. And I went into the elevator to go upstairs, and every single person was on there was like 7 or 8 people in the elevator. Big ass elevator.
Yeah.
It's like a full room, you know?
There was
10 people in the elevator, and there was like 8 out of 10 of them were on their phone, and me and one other person weren't. And we just started talking about something dumb, but it felt so much better. Like, I totally understand. Some days you don't have it in you to like have a lot of interaction, and that's okay, you know, if you don't have like the bandwidth for that. But when you do, it becomes clear so quickly that we're all just like, Ram Dass talks about this. We're all just like souls in there, you know, like, hey, are you in there? I'm in here. Like, that connection is what we need to be okay. And we're all kind of like acting like we don't need it as much as we do, or like we're acting like we're like cool in all these different ways, but at the end of the day, we all feel all the same things all the time, you know. And it's like, I wish that we could just, I don't know, it's like a small example of that is whenever you're asked, how are you? Good. I'm good, you know. We never give the real answer. That's just like not in our culture to actually sit down and like give each other the time. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, then you have to like start a whole thing and then you have to like have a whole conversation. And that's exhausting. I really think that the last couple of years with COVID and everything, it really had an impact on our ability to connect. We're like out of practice right now.
Oh, we've
like
regressed. Way.
Yeah. Like we already weren't super great at it, but now it's like.
Now we have a reason not to.
Yeah.
Like now it's like, oh, for safety. Like I'm not going to get close because of safety.
Exactly.
Literally like last week. So I've been at my new place for a year now. There's a guy and his family, like white middle class mm-hmm, family.
Mm-hmm. In Portland?
Like, yeah. So rare. I know. This is rare. But I've never spoken to anyone. Like I've been there for a year. Usually yeah. It's like, hey, like I've talked to basically like even the person who lives like next, like couple doors down, it's just like, yeah. Your back's faced to me every single time I'm walking down. Yep. And it's like across the street, it's like, we'll get into the car at the same time mm-hmm. and whatever. But so a whole year, not even saying a thing. And I kind of went on this, like this mission. I was like, you know how many, like, I grew up in a white middle class, like I've approached and had conversations with like middle-aged white men my entire life. Since yeah. I was a kid, I know what it was like in talk and even though I was the shyest person in the world, but it's like, I've been around you. I know how you move.
Yeah.
But how many like handsome 33-year-old black men have you like had a conversation with, or have you approached yeah. and asked a question, or even been in the same room with and made eye contact right. with? Like, oh, I've God. Done this before.
Yeah.
You're the person who has not approached me before, or someone like me before.
Right.
So I'm gonna leave it up to you. Whenever you decide to cross that line,
yeah,
then go for it. Cause I can talk to you.
Balls in your court.
Yeah, I can talk to you whenever I want. I can go up and walk to you and be like, hey, what's going on? What's your
yeah.
name? Like, I'm not gonna let you off the hook.
As you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was funny because like actually a couple months ago he was walking and I was like on the other side of the neighborhood and I was like, hey, what's going on? And he just walks by and it was just like, whatever. Like 5 months later, this last week, we were parking at the same exact time. He's backing in. I'm in, and it's like parallel out front of his house. Mm-hmm. And like we get out of the car at the same time. He walks over to me. And he's like, hey, my name's Dan. I'm like,
yes.
Hey, what's going on? My name's Aaron. And then like that was basically like, okay, I could tell yeah. there was an opening for
yeah.
me to like lay on the fluff and the, yeah, yeah, in the yeah. da, da, da. Mm. And I was like, I told her, I was like, I was wondering when we're going to meet each other. And yeah. then I just like walked to my place because I'm not going to make it a bigger thing than it actually is. It's like, yeah. yo, you waited a fucking year.
Right.
To say what up.
Yeah. That literally then, just happened to me too. Something like that.
But the funny part is like literally like a week later, he's outside like getting into his car in the morning. And I say, good morning. And then he like kind of like glances, and then his wife's there, and he kind of just like doesn't even like acknowledge it. It doesn't yeah. even like acknowledge like the like the hey, we met each other like last week yeah. type of thing. There was no like
a different dynamic
yeah
with the wife
he
there.
Just like the wife is there wow. and he's like fucking like didn't even like say anything. He was just like and I was so, like, you fucking yeah. fake ass motherfucker, Dan,
what the hell, man?
Yeah, it's so like I think we're used to just like showing up and being present for people who are willing to show up as yeah. well, but it's like if it's going to be a one-sided thing, it's like it's only taking from me. Like you can't yeah. take this energy that I have.
This literally just happened to me like this week, like when I first moved into this spot where we're in right now. Shout out to my place that I moved into. It's my first time living alone.
Congrats.
It's pretty cool, right, Aaron's like,
oh, it's the best. Yeah. Oh my God.
And so I move in and like I'm like saying hi to my neighbors. I want to meet them. Like I want to know the people who live near me. So there were just a couple times where I was like, hey, how are you? Like I just moved in, and their first reaction was super cold, but then I saw them like a couple days later or a week later, and they same thing. Like they were like they felt more like mm-hmm. safe to be open up. And it's like, man, it sucks. I do feel like I can relate to that feeling of like, it kind of does feel like it always has to be me. Like a lot of the times
yeah,
it has to be me to just
time.
Be like, to break that barrier and just say like, hey, like I'm just going to say hi. And I know that however I just said hi to the guy across the street and he looked at me like I had three heads. And I was like, all right, like, wait, maybe you're having a weird day. Maybe you're having a weird day. Like, I don't know what's going on for you, but I do know that I'm just going to be friendly. Like, that's just what I'm going to do. Yeah,
but it's like when so many people have that same general energetic output, I'm like, wait, you have this, like, everyone, it's not like y'all are individuals. Like, yeah. There's so many people that have the same kind of energy and feel and aversion to kindness and openness. And it's like, yo, like, that, like you are not original in that same thing. I've seen the same version of this, like, kind of half smile, like, I'm awkward, like, shit. I'm like, fuck, like, where the fuck is the originality? Like, at least, like, say fuck you to my face.
Exactly. That's what's good about the South.
Yeah.
You know, is like, maybe some ideas are a little whack, but, like, at least you know what they are. Like, it's pretty loud and clear what they're thinking, you know? Like, I think that there's comfort in knowing where someone stands, even if it's, like, they got a problem with you, at least you know, you know? Like, yeah, it's like, at least it's spoken. Stay away from them. Like, it just, I've definitely experienced that in my life. And I can't imagine being a person of color, like, that probably happens a lot where you know that the representation you're getting from a person is not real. And it's like, the onus shouldn't be on you to initiate that kind of, like, so, like, do you have a problem? Like, to always be the first one to say something. But at the same time, it feels wrong not to say something, to just, like, let that be. It's like an awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've felt that way so many times. Just, I don't know, with other, it's usually with other women, which I hate. Like, there's this, like, internalized misogyny thing happening where I don't know. Not always, but, like, something's not being said. And I just hate that. I just want to be like, what's up? Like, what are you thinking? I, like, just say it.
I'm not a woman, but I think it could be, like, kind of that, almost like a level of, like, jealousy, because I feel like you've cracked through that that self-hate to an extent, and you're expressing your true self out in the world, and they're like, that's an example of what they feel like they can't do,
right?
And they don't realize it's available for them as well. So it's just like, who's this fucking, like, peppy, like, person that wants to know everything about me and ask me questions and has like has this energy and stuff, and maybe projecting, but I feel like there, and even for a lot of men, there's, like, this internalized, like, self dynamic that doesn't honor their gifts or capacity to shift into a new expression of self.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I'm so sure of the fact that no one knows what they're doing.
Nobody knows.
No one has anything figured out. Once you figure that out, it's so freeing, because then it's like you feel way less pressure to act like you do. Oh, and so it's just like, man, I have, well, but also, like, you know, to acknowledge that you do have the skills you do and, like, that you've worked hard. Like, it's a balance, just like anything. But, man, I don't have jack shit figured out. And so I'm not expecting other people to either. And so I just have such a strong pull within me to connect with someone on a level deep enough to acknowledge that within our both of ourselves, of like, we're just here, like, on the path, like, trying to figure it out, and, you know, here for each other for encouragement and to reflect, like, what's going on and to grow more and whatever. But we're not gonna act like, see, that's my main problem with religion, I think, is, like, the thought that your one way of thinking is the one right way. Like, that's so, it's just so not true. And it's so, like, silly. It's so silly, really, at the end of the day, to think that, like, the one way that you're interpreting something is the one right way. It's like, man, listen to yourself. Look at him. Yeah. You know, like, that's just sounds silly.
Yeah. I do like the idea that, or the fact that nobody knows what they're doing.
No one.
Like,
oh,
like, this is your first life in this experience.
Yeah.
Like, you may have other lives, but you're here right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, nobody, everyone's just trying to figure it out as they're going.
Yeah.
Like, that's given me so much freedom to just try new things and have less judgment.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, like, I, like, similarly, like, when you were talking about the Bible verses, like, I used to want, like, I used to have the right answer at the right time, because it's like, if I don't know, then I'm going to miss this opportunity. And then like that was my one shot. And it's just like, no, there's a shot every second.
Because every interaction holds so much weight when it's on your shoulders to save someone from eternal damnation or not. You know what I mean? Like, God, to have that, to the fact that that is like a thing for children, especially, like, I was thinking about that as a child, like, I got to save little Johnny from burning eternally. You know, it's on me because I'm the only saved person that he knows. Like, that is crazy that that's a thing. It's wild.
Yeah. I wasn't even that like close to, like, I didn't go to church, but regardless if I go to church or not, like, we're all in a Christian society. So we're all by it, regardless if you go or not. Like, right? Oh, I'm not religious or whatever. Gosh. It's like, it's no, like your teachers, your the classmates that you have, like the majority of the society is totally followed this, or at least has been shaped by Christianity.
Absolutely.
Regardless if you're involved in it or not, and you realize like, oh fuck, like I have Christian values in my DNA because my whole society is like shape me this way and how we relate to one another and how we relate to self.
Exactly.
Which is why like the self inquiry is so fucking important. It's where so you important. Gotta start, you gotta see it for yourself. You gotta touch it for yourself. You don't have to read it from somewhere else. You gotta look inward.
Right.
Which is my segue to meditation, Ram Dass. And you know what is your spiritual journey?
It's so funny you say that because I had a segue in mind, like right now.
Yeah,
my segue was, man, we must be on the same wavelength right now.
Yeah, tell me yours.
My segue was the one thing that I have done in my life that allows me to be able to read something like the Bible. God damn it. I think that's my cat outside. Yep, that's cat outside.
Or her.
Oh my God. George wants to make an appearance.
Wait, don't. Just don't pull the microphone out. Okay, there we go. Come on, George.
Come on in, buddy.
Hey, Bo.
Yep.
Oh,
he's a good-looking cat.
Yeah, he is. Fucking right. He's my
Joe.
Son.
George. I said Joe. George, come here. Whoa, he's a good-looking cat. Wow.
This is George Harrison, the second.
Meow one more time.
Oh, he will. You don't have to. Don't worry. My segue was the thing that allowed me to read something like the Bible without anger, without judgment, without, you know, feeling bad about something or myself or whatever, was psychedelics. Oh. Doing psychedelics. That was honestly, I feel like before, you know, when I was like going to church and when I was growing up, I just felt guilty constantly. I always felt guilty. I always felt full of shame about something. And I felt like one thing I felt guilty about was that I didn't read the Bible enough, or I wasn't doing enough, you know, like there was always, I was coming up short in some way all the time. And I think doing mushrooms allowed me to hold it a little more lightly. Unless, you know, it doesn't feel like I need to have things figured out in the exact right way, kind of like what we've been talking about. Like I don't have to have any answers and I don't need to know, like my need to know things is so much, it's so much less now. And, and it actually feels good. It actually feels good not to know, you know, it's like, I have so much peace about, I don't know what's going to happen when I die, you know, like something like death or like, I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. Like even just like that, like, and I don't want to, like Ram Dass talks about being the witness to what's going on in your life. So as if you're watching it on a movie screen, like, oh, what's going to happen? Like as if your life's like an episode or something, what's going to happen next week? Like what's next week's episode? It's like, it becomes fun. Even when, especially when you experience something really hard, it's like, when you're able to see it in the fuller context of, you know, the fuller context, then you're able to see that it's not everything. You're not so fully in your, like the melodrama of your life where you're so in it that you can't see outside of it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're able to see it from that zoomed out lens and it's like, okay, there's Corey. She's having a hard time with this thing and it feels really painful or whatever, but that feeling has come up before and guess what? It passed just like every other feeling. Like the things that come up actually become so much more precious once you like accept the impermanence of it, you mm-hmm. know? Whereas I think before, like 10 years ago, I would have thought like seeing things with such impermanence all the time would be too scary. It's like, oh my gosh, like this could end at any time, like that, you know, like it would bring anxiety. But now it's like, wow, this is beautiful. Like right now I'm sitting with an incredible friend and I'm so grateful for our friendship and I'm so happy to know you in this moment right now. Like this is beautiful and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like I don't know anything, but I know what I know right now and that's enough. It's enough, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know. I think mushrooms mainly just help me take everything less seriously and like it's all just one big cosmic joke at the end of the day. You know, it's just like, God, we're just like, we got our panties in a bunch about so many things. And it's like, why? You know, yeah. Why? Like, life is so short.
Yeah. I started doing microdosing a couple of weeks or probably like last month. I did like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
On it, like where I just like take like a little bit and it was really, really nice. Mm. Like it was just... like the seriousness just kind of evaporated.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like I'm just me out here. Mm-hmm. Like I love that state of being of just like, I'm just me. Like
just out
like
here.
I'm worthy of love. Like those things are ingrained into the operating system.
Right.
Like the self-acceptance, the love, the creativity, mm-hmm. and just like seeing each day for what it is.
Right.
Is like another blessing. And I think it's just like the appreciation component. Like, I think that we started kind of that on like the appreciation of like,
yeah.
like taking the time to witness all the elements in our lives and realize like, oh fuck, I'm blessed as fuck. Like overly blessed.
God.
Oh my God.
So,
like, I'm like,
yeah.
are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
like have you met my brother? Like I
yeah.
have so many big, beautiful people.
Right.
And
it's
it
like
reframes the context of the hardships in the past. It's like,
yes,
oh, thank
yes.
you for that. For like,
oh my God.
Getting me to this point. Like I could not have gotten here
nope.
if I didn't experience that pain or that roadblock or that disappointment, like I had
it's
to
wild.
Experience it to experience it here.
Absolutely. I absolutely like could not be who I am. There are so many examples in my life that I have of things that I really, really wanted to go a certain way that did not go that way, that now that I have the perspective of like being where I am today, I'm like, whoa, thank God. Like wow. And I think the pressure to be grateful just like it's kind of like reminds me of the pressure to be creative or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is he fucking up that thing?
No. He's he's perfect.
It's how like he sure is. Sure is. It's like the pressure to be creative, how that like sucks out all of the actual joy out of creativity. It's like the pressure. I used to put so much pressure on myself to be grateful for everything I had and like no matter what to just always be grateful. Now that that pressure has been removed, the true irony is that I just naturally feel so grateful all the time. You know, it's like once there's less pressure on that thing, then it's allowed to just be what it is. And ironically, it's usually gonna be like what you were wanting. Like this is kind of getting lost in the sauce, but you know what I mean? Like once there's less weight on the thing, then it's like, oh, you can actually just enjoy it for what it is. And then you end up getting like what you actually wanted or what you didn't even know you wanted, you know, mm-hmm. like sometimes
yeah.
that happens too. But
yeah, oftentimes it's more simple.
Yeah.
Like when it exists as its raw, pure form outside of the realm of concept and judgment, because concept and judgment plus creativity turns into something else, because then motivations get injected into it and then expectations
yeah.
get, and then it just becomes a mess.
Totally.
And it's like, wait, like you didn't create like this authentic soul expression. You like created out of this feeling of fear and
right.
and lack.
Yeah.
And you produced something, but it wasn't for love or connectivity. It was like
yeah.
an expression of your disconnection or discontent with self.
Totally. It was like out of scarcity.
And then you post it on social media
yeah.
so everyone can see it.
Yeah. Oh, you got to post it. I mean, come on. Yeah, totally. I think that something that I like that you talk about on this podcast is the fact that like your life is your art.
Mm-hmm.
Your handwriting is your art. The way that you like the things that you decide to put in your space is your art. The clothes you wear, the ways that you cut them, they're your art. Like that's all art. That's all expression, and it's all beautiful. I think, you know, it's once you see it like that, then again, there's less pressure to like create quote unquote art. Like, what is art? Like, is my art good enough? It's like, God, I wish, if I have a hope for the world, or one of them is like, I wish we all felt the freedom to express ourselves exactly how we wanted to. And they're like, all the fear went away magically overnight of like, is this good enough? Or what are people going to think about this? Like, it's within all of us. Everyone who's alive, like, we all express ourselves in some ways, you know, in some way. And that's beautiful. And I feel like we don't like celebrate that enough, because it's like, when you think of art, you think of like a painting, or you think of, I don't know, but really any way that you are vulnerable and that you share that vulnerability, even if you don't share, even if you just share it with yourself, that's a form of art. Mm-hmm. And it should be celebrated.
Yeah. I believe in that as well. Thank you. Well, this podcast would not be complete without you confessing your love and admiration for Ram Dass. I know we've kind of peppered it in here and there. I tried to like lay you up for it, but you've been shy about expressing.
Oh, I'm not shy. I only feel afraid that if I start, I won't stop. I'm a Ram Dizzian. Yeah, I love Ram Dass. I mean, I think the
main...
Who
is Ram Dass, for those who don't know?
So Ram Dass was, RIP, he was a guy who became popular in the 60s for kind of like publicly, he was a professor at Harvard.
Stanford.
Stanford, shit, you know more about him than me?
Just that one thing.
Are
or
you
maybe
sure?
He did both. Maybe he did both. I don't know, maybe we can look it up afterwards.
I think it's Harvard.
I mean, I trust you. I will defer to you right now.
I'll bet you $5 it's Harvard.
I'll bet you dinner.
Oh, okay.
I'm hungry.
Okay. Anyway, he was a professor at some school like that. And he had sort of like there was a period in the 60s where him and someone named Timothy Leary kind of spearheaded the psychedelic movement, where they started doing research and experiments. Some of them were kind of shady, honestly, and that's why ultimately Timothy Leary really went kind of too far with it and wasn't. But anyway, they were making a lot of good headway with the ways that it heals people and like helps with depression and anxiety and PTSD, and like they were doing experiments with like acid on war veterans, and they would come out completely different people, you know, within these safe environments of like legitimate like therapy stuff. Anyway, he went on to live in India, and he became like a spiritual guru and wrote the book Be Here Now, and it's all over my walls and my body, and I got a couple
three
tattoos.
Copies right over there.
Yeah. And the thing is like, the thing that I really liked about him at first was that he's very blunt about the fact that he doesn't know everything, and that his interpretation is just that, his interpretation. Like, he doesn't, it was such a nice change for me to hear someone who was like in that kind of position of like quote unquote guru, who was like, I don't know what I'm doing. It was so healing for me, you know, mm-hmm. because of all the things we've said, like, He knew that he didn't have it figured out, and he knew that no one did, and he would talk about like, hey, this is just like the way that I see things, and this has really helped me, and this is like, we're all souls, you know, and mm-hmm. like, we're all walking each other home, is one of my favorite things that he said, because it's so true. Once you are quote unquote on the path, and you really see that clearly, like every interaction you have, everyone is the guru when you know how to listen. Is another one. It's like every single interaction you have, you learn more about yourself, and you learn more about other people, and you see yourself in them, and you see them in you. And once you're able to see that, then it's like they're you know, you're able to, we're all one, you know, like mm-hmm. it sounds so freaking cliche and cheesy, but it's like, we all experience the same things. And there are certainly things that are, you know, like systemic racism. That's real. Like, that's a real thing that exists, that that cause some people to have different experiences than others that are not fair. Like, that's a real thing. You can't just say like, yo, we're all one and we all feel the same things and it's the same for everyone all the time. No, that's not true. But yeah, I love Ram Dass. What else do I want to say about Ram Dass?
Yeah, he's definitely like especially like as I started like my meditation practice, yeah, he was probably like one of the first people that I gravitated towards and kind of like researching, kind of like there were like the, he was part of like the first wave of Americans to go to India, yeah, and study under, right, a guru. I believe his name was Maharaji.
Yep.
That's the one. In the Himalayas with like their podcast network, the Be Here Now podcast network with Jack Kornfield, mm-hmm, Krishna Das, Sharon Salzberg.
Yeah. Just to name a few.
Raghu Marcus. Yeah. I don't know if Raghu Marcus went out to, no, he did. He definitely did. Was in India with Maharaji or he heard the teachings of Maharaji through Ram Dass. I'm not sure if he was actually there. But yeah, I listened to like their podcasts, like especially like in the beginning. Oh, Joseph Goldstein. Wait, is that his name?
Joseph Campbell?
No. Hold on. Inside Hour with Joseph Goldstein. Mm. I think it's Goldstein. I need to know, there's no way that I can get this wrong because I listen to it all the freaking time.
Oh.
But yeah, as far as like getting on the path of mindfulness and meditation and Buddhism and all of that, it's, yeah, like that was kind of like the way to be taught these Eastern traditions. Yeah, Joseph Goldstein, I got it right.
Nice.
Eastern traditions, but with people that understand like the Western,
yeah,
like chaotic, yeah, mind, yeah, totally, and to speak it in a way that really lands for a, mm-hmm, lot of us. So if you guys are listening now, check out Be Here Now Network.
Just search Be Here Now on,
yeah, and me. You'll have plenty of Ram Dass teachings on YouTube and,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
And I also like Ram Dass is funny. He was funny. Yeah. Like he was like a really funny guy. And I really like that too, because he was so good at being able to like see the silliness of something, of like, you know, especially his family members were very serious. His dad called him Rum Dom or something. He called him like some name that could have been really offensive, but he decided to just like love his dad and appreciate him for who he was and know that it wasn't personal. He just because he couldn't understand him perfectly, which is an experience I had in my family, you know, like I think that's probably why I relate to him so much. But I don't know, just because someone doesn't like know why you think what you do doesn't mean that, like, doesn't mean you're not allowed to, or like that it's wrong or weird or whatever. That just means that they're not. But once his dad actually, he cared for his dad up until his final demise, up until he died. And he talked about how like right before he died, they had this really sweet time together where like all of the roles were dropped and they were able to meet each other in that, mm-hmm, way of soul to soul, you know? And
that's what all the work is for. That's why you do, yeah, your inner practice, beautiful, so you can, right, initiate those conversations and,
yeah,
and for you to kind of take the reins and be like, hey, this is where I'm going to lead with my heart and,
yeah,
create this level of connection and vulnerability where other people may be stuck, which is why maybe next time I move to another place, I'll go over to the neighbor and and ask them like what their name is. By the way, Ram Dass went to Stanford. I'll let you, boy.
Okay. Hey, like I said, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what, if, yeah, any of this is right.
None of us do.
Yeah, but hey, good job.
Yeah, but is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners before you buy me dinner?
Shoot. I just want to say that the work of becoming an ally to yourself is always worth it. Even when you can't see that, it's sometimes really hard to see, but it's always worth investing in yourself and in your relationship with yourself. It's really the longest relationship you'll ever have is the one with yourself. And it's so important that you are investing in it because, okay, last Ram Dass quote, I promise. But like he talks about how the best thing that you can do for those around you is to invest in you, just like the best thing they can do. I think he's talking about specifically like a romantic relationship, I mean, just any relationship. The best thing you can do for others is to take really good care of yourself. And that's just so different from what was drilled into my mind, like growing up, which was like selfless, 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 always others, always others, always others. Any attention on yourself is selfish. And that's just not true. And I think that that's changing. I think that like people are becoming more keen to knowing that that's just like not true. But invest in yourself, love yourself. Like it's cheesy and it's cliche, but it's so important to trust yourself and to do whatever it takes to see your worth and know how much value you bring to every situation. Like it benefits every single aspect of your life, and it allows you, like once you trust yourself and practice trusting yourself, you'll never not benefit from that ever and for the rest of your life. Like the more comfortable that gets, the more things fall into place and the less like suffering you have, you know. Like you know what you need. You can trust that. You can trust that you have what it takes to you know, to figure out the things that are hard or to whatever. You got this. You're all beautiful souls and we all need each other. So reach out and connect and send that text, send that voice note, give that hug, say hi to the neighbor. Like you never know when you're going to go. So just do it. Just like, don't let the fear be what motivates you. Let love be motivating.
I fully support this. Where can people find you on the interwebs, even though you don't have social media?
My email is...
My pigeon's name is Santos.
Well, George could come to your door. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't have to.
You could email me. My email is CorylynHager@gmail.com. CorylynHager@gmail.com. Oh my God. I feel like
that's
a
cool.
7-year-old
that's
right
the,
now.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing.
Or
in
send
the world.
me a letter. My address is, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, email me if you want to talk. I'm down if you want.
Dope. Well, thank you, Corey. And thank you all for listening to
Opening Presents.